wood. Well, they were wooden trees, and they were made entirely of wood. I came home today, and you were all on fire. Your shirt was on fire, and your hair was on fire, and flames were licking all around your feet. And I did not know what to do. And then 8,000 violins began to play, and I really did not know what to do then. So I just decided to go out and walk the dog. I went to the movies, and I saw a dog 30 feet high. And this dog was made entirely of light. And he filled up the whole screen. And his eyes were long hallways. He had those long, echoing, hallway eyes. Well, I turned on the radio, and I heard a song by Dolly Parton, and she was singing, wow! I feel so bad. I left my mom and I left my dad. And I just want to go home now. I just want to move back to my Tennessee mountain home now. Well, you know she's not going to go back home. And I know she's not going to go back home. And she knows she's never going to go back there. And I just want to know who's going to go and walk. I feel so bad. I feel so sad. But not as bad as the night I wrote this song. Close your eyes. Okay. Now imagine you're at the most wonderful party. Okay. Delicious food, Interesting people, Terrific music, and walk the dog.
Arabs round. I've seen around, and I've watched them charm that oil right out of the ground. Long black streams through their dark electric light. And they said one day the sun went down and it went way out into the ground. And 3,000 years flew by, and we pump it right back up again. It's a close gap, baby. We change the dark into the light and vice versa. Well, I know who you are, baby. I watched you count yourself to sleep. You're the shepherd, baby. And you're also 1, 2, 300 sheep. I watched you fall asleep. Well, I was so really last night. Must have just dropped off to sleep. 'Cause I saw you were crying, baby. You were crying in your sleep. You're the snake charmer, baby. And you're also a very long snake. You're a close circuit, baby. You've got the answers in the palms of your hands. Thank you.
Last year, I was on a twin-engine plane coming from Milwaukee to New York City, and just over LaGuardia, one of the engines popped out, and we started to drop straight down, flipping over and over. Then the other engine died, and we went completely out of control. New York City started to get taller and taller. A voice came over the intercom and said,
"Our pilot has just informed us that we are about to attempt a crash landing. Please extinguish all cigarettes, place tray tables in their upright locked position. Your captain says please do not panic. Your captain says put your knees up to your chin. Captain says put your hands over your eyes. Captain says put your hands in your heads. Put your hands on my knees." This is your captain, and we are going down. We are all going down together.
As it turned out, however, we were caught in a downdraft and rammed into a bank. It was, in short, a miracle. But afterwards, I was terrified of getting onto planes, and for months, the minute I started walking down that aisle, my eyes would clamp shut, and I would fall into a deep, involuntary sleep. My mind would shut down. You don't want to see this. You don't want to be here. Have you lost your dog? Finally, I was able to remain conscious, but I always had to go up into the forward cabin to ask the stewardesses if I could sit next to them. You know, "Hi, mind if I join you?" And they were always rather irritated. "Oh, right, what a baby." And I watched their uniforms crack as we made nervous chit-chat. Sometimes even this didn't help, and I'd have to find one of the other passengers to talk to. Are you going to stop these people immediately? There's one on every flight. Someone who's really on your wavelength. I was on a flight from L.A. when I spotted one of them sitting across the aisle. A girl, about 14, and she had a stuffed rabbit set up on her tray table, and she kept arranging and rearranging the rabbit and kind of waving to it. And I decided this is the one I want to sit next to. So I sat down and we started to talk, and suddenly I realized she was speaking an entirely different language. Computerese, a kind of a high-tech lingo. It was amazing. If she didn't understand something, it just didn't scan. Everything was circuitry, electronics, switching. We talked mostly about her boyfriend. This guy was never in a bad mood. He was in a bad mode. Moody kind of a guy. At the moment, this was kind of rocky, and she kept saying, man, you know, like, oh man, it's so digital. And she just meant the relationship was on again, off again, always two things switching. Current passes through and then it doesn't. It was a language of sounds, of noise, of switching. It was the language of the rabbit, of the caribou, of the beaver, the penguin, a language of the past. Current runs through bodies, and then it doesn't. On again, off again, one thing instantly replaces another. It was a language of the future. Put your knees up to your chin. Have you lost your dog? Put your hands over your eyes. Jump out of the plane. There is no pilot. You are not alone. This is the language of the on again, off again future. And it is digital.
And I answered the phone, and I heard a voice, and the voice said, please do not hang up. We know who you are. Please do not hang up. We know what you have to say. Please do not hang up. We know what you want. Please do not hang up. We know who you are. Please do not hang up. We've got your number. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you. Laurie Anderson, live at the Cabrillo Music Festival in Cabrillo College Auditorium on August 25th, 1979.